This is music from Fred Ho. Welcome to The Checkout. I'm Josh Jackson. On April 12, 2014, Fred Ho died after an eight-year struggle with cancer. We remember the baritone saxophone revolutionary and champion of Afro-Asian liberation music. WBGO's Monica Miller takes us to Eastern Africa on a musical excavation tour, digging up some rare lost grooves from Ethiopia. But first, it's Rio de Janeiro's Flame Collective. They blaze a path through Brazilian song in WBGO's performance studio with producer Tim Wilkins. That's up next. This is The Checkout. Thanks for checking in.
Coletivo Chama is a group of Brazilian musicians, visual artists, and writers from Rio de Janeiro. We're here in the WBGO studios with Coletivo Chama members. You can introduce yourselves.
Pedro Samorais.
Ivo Senra.
Tiago Amude.
Tiago de Melo.
Renato Frazão.
Sérgio Krakowski.
César Altai.
And we have also Diogo Cili, Luis Leite. Thank you guys for joining us here at WBGO.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ela me pluga, me beija, me suga, me sangue suga demais. Procura outro rapaz, se já não mais me deseja. Depois me aluga, me molha, me enxuga, me desenruga ao viés. Chega causando um revés, quando a cidade madruga, me deixa todo feliz. Me arrepia a raiz, eu fico logo freguês, fico louco de vez, estalando verniz.
Pedro Samorais, Chama, what does that mean and where did it come from?
Chama means two things in Portuguese. It means flame, and it's also a beacon or a calling. Chama eventually became our own code word. We use it for anything that's strong, that's powerful, that's fresh. Tiago de Melo, Tiagão, he used to use that.
Chama.
Tiago de Melo, you have a natural, perfect radio voice.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you, I appreciate that.
Se foi derradeira pra nunca mais, minha paixão passageira, lua fugaz. Vai azulão, companheiro de solidão, vê minha ingrata que mata meu coração. Antes que a tarde se vá, voa e me traz ela de volta, e aí não foge mais. Tempo certeiro que é dessa missão, passar o preto, te entrego essa canção. Ira, yeah.
Tiago de Mello.
Yes.
Pássaro Preto. One thing I hear in that is the Beatles, Lennon and McCartney, Blackbird. Is there something else that's going on there?
Yes. Yes, there is.
What?
Well, as you said, this first reference is the McCartney song, the Blackbird from the Beatles. And then I started to think about another bird, not the Blackbird from Liverpool, but the Azulão from the northeast of Brazil. And I remember that Manuel Bandeira, which is a huge, huge poet from Brazil, he had this song named Azulão. And I love this song, Azulão. Maybe it was the first song that I learned to play. So we thought about doing this escambo, doing this exchange between the Blackbird of the Beatles and the Azulão of Manuel Bandeira.
Pássaro preto, te entrego essa canção.
So if you know the Azulão lyrics, you will find in our Pássaro Preto a lot of reference. That's it. The artist can do that, the composer can do that, right? Can listening to something in the past to create with great generosity something new.
Tiago de Mello.
Yes.
What does the song mean to Brazil?
Well, I think the song for Brazil is like a central part of Brazilian culture. And in Brazil, we have, since the 50s or the 60s, a great generation of songwriters, of composers, that gave to us and sentimental education. Most of all Brazilians learn how to speak, how to write, and how to feel like a Brazilian, listening to Brazilian songwriters. Chico Buarque, Tom Jobim, Caetano Veloso, Edu Lobo,
Vinícius de Moraes,
João Gilberto, Newton Mendonça, Cartola, Nelson Cavaquinho, Pixinguinha, Jackson do Pandeiro, Luiz Gonzaga, Gilberto Gil, Torquato Neto.
Many.
Yes, many.
And the list continues, and it continues today in this room.
Risonho, três variado, depois de sondar arcanos, oráculos, teoremas, escrituras e profundidade. O poeta todo ancho lírico feito demônio. Tatuou na cabeça de alfinete os números ocultos constelados. Na miúda joaninha, ô, mascou naco de papoula brava, ô, mascou naco de papoula brava. Quem o viu adormecer dentro daquela pedra de litoral? Quem o viu adormecer dentro daquela pedra de litoral? Quem o viu adormecer dentro daquela pedra de litoral? Quem o viu adormecer?
Tiago Amud, you are also a songwriter and a singer. What brought you to express yourself in this way?
Well, I really don't know. I think I never tried another way. And
of living?
Of living, never. I really don't know. It's my fate.
You write songs of incredible poetic beauty and density, but it's something that's kind of mysterious to those of us who are outside of Brazil. I will share just a little bit of the lyrics from Papoula Brava, one of the songs that you sang for us today. After inquiring arcana, oracles, theorems, scriptures, and depths, the poet, very proud, lyric just like a devil. Are you this poet?
Yes, of course.
So is the poet trying to be a devil?
No. In northeast of Brazil, people say, como diabo.
It's a kind of expression.
It's a kind of an expression, a slang. And in this song, I sing this way. Lírico feito demônio. Because it means...
It's like lyrical, like hell.
Yeah, yes,
like hell.
It's like lyrical, like hell.
Like hell.
Okay.
Nasci num paradeiro que chamavam de Brasil. No mês do carnaval de um já remoto ano 2000. Tô velho e deslembrei do seio que murchei, mas lembro das porradas sob as quais eu desmamei. Ainda meninote eu intuí o meu lugar. O dente da ambição me acicatou a jugular. Tomei um simancol e num piscar do sol, de sub-aviãozinho virei dono do paiol. Mas isso não bastou, pra mim era humilhante examinar o espelho e achar um mero traficante. Até que ouvi uma voz: escuta, meu rapaz, me entrega teu destino, liberdade e tudo mais. Que eu faço teu futuro da maneira que te apraz. Porém, passaram anos de marasmo e ramerrão, baladas e chacinas, primavera e caveirão. E tome pancadão, e tome inferno astral, com padres no monturo, inimigos no jornal. A década acabou, eu vi na minha frente um comitê de gringos com seu líder sorridente. E conheci a voz daquele chanceler. Notei nas suas têmporas sinais de Lucifer, sujeito de palavra que auxilia quem mal quer, que veio colocar minha alma no penhor e em troca me alçaria a estatura de senhor. Que amor faria da favela um território above the law, um Éden de heroína e de cheirinho da loló, pro homem do amanhã ter tripe cidadã e o Rio de Janeiro ser melhor que Amsterdã. E completou: my boy, I'm gonna give you what you miss. Teu morro será quase como fosse outro país, um tipo de Hong Kong na aba de uma ONG, de yogis comissários de gravata e de sarong. E tu serás a lei. Oh yes, I am the boss. Tornei olhar o espelho e me flagrei tomando posse. Dobrei os meus rivais, tramei reviravolta. E agora o fisco existe, é pra bancar a minha escolta. E as forças desarmadas vão calar sua revolta. O novo catecismo são meus ditos no pasquim. Meu nome é traduzido em esperanto e mandarim. Os gringos me mantêm, o lumpen me quer bem. E a alta burguesia do meu pó virou refém. Reservas, tribunais, por sob as minhas patas, eis-me o mais orgânico dentre os aristocratas. Tudo que eu sofri agora é meu troféu, é meu salvo-conduto pra moldar o povaréu e ser glorificado antes de assar no beleléu. No mês do carnaval, nasci no ano 2000 e abri mais uma estrela em teu pendão com meu fuzil. Brasil. Brasil.
Speaking of the devil, another song of yours, A Saga do Grande Líder, which means the song of the great leader, is a kind of cautionary tale, perhaps a Faust for the 21st century.
Yes.
Or is it? Is this about the promise and the dangers that face Brazil, or the artist, or the whole world?
You're asking me. This is the answer. You got the answer. Perfect. Really, 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 really. I think that A Saga do Grande Líder, I wrote the lyrics, and the melody is by Edu Knipe, a great songwriter, our friend. These lyrics are kind of nightmare about the end of Brazil, in hands of criminals and the power, a kind of globalist power, when these forces against Brazil will be so connected that could make a kind of nobody turns into a new king. And then he starts to change the laws. It's something that makes me feel afraid. And I sing to, it's just like a spell. I don't want it to happen. And then I sing.
Passar o carnaval na Mesopotâmia. Simbora, simbora agora. Cê querendo, eu sei um truque. Simbora, simbora agora. Cê querendo, eu sei um truque. Tá quase raiando a aurora. Encare o sol até surgir a imagem do deus sumério. Chamash, vem chegando. Chame a chama, vem cegando. Chame aí de repente. Em pleno rio, baixa e fica o rei de Uruk. De repente, em pleno rio, baixa e fica o rei de Uruk. Gilgamesh, que mexe, 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 que mexe.
Speaking of kings, you introduce us to another king in a different song you sang for us, but this is maybe a carnival king, or maybe something else. The Carnaval na Mesopotâmia.
Carnaval na Mesopotâmia. It's a song. It was inspired in the epic of Gilgamesh, the story, the Mesopotamian king, the Uruk king. It's the first story written in the world before the Bible.
In fact, you say Gilgamesh, Kimeshi, Kimeshi.
Yes.
Explain that to a non-Brazilian.
Yes. Gilgamesh is the name of the king. Kimeshi, Kimeshi, Kimeshi is a kind of a puzzle of words. No. That means the movement of the folião, what we call the man who is dancing in the carnival.
Eu vejo a escória e devoro a carne de mito e de medo do touro do céu. Hoje o ocidente não me serve de escudo. No furor do entrudo eu vou me acabar.
So what is your Brazil, Pedro Samorais?
Brazil is a dream in the highest sense, and also in the most dangerous sense. My Brazil is a Brazil of the powerful imaginations that preceded me. It's a Brazil of Vila Lobos. It's a Brazil of countless amount of dreamers.
One last song that you all performed together is called Não é Água.
You know, this song was written by Tiago, and every single word in the lyrics is a different name of cachaça.
This Brazilian drink, I love it. Cachaça, you have cachaça in all parts of Brazil, so it's a national passion. And the word cachaça is not mentioned in the lyrics.
It's also something that's very important in the Coletivo Chama. It's an exploration of the beauty of words.
Coletivo Chama, Pedro Samorais, Ivo Senha, Thiago Amud, Thiago de Mello, Renato Frazão, Sergio Krakowski, Diogo Cili, Cesar Altai, Luiz Leite. Thank you guys so much for joining us at WBGO.
Mania, paixão ou vício, de sangue ou do coração, água limpa destilada, preferência da nação, bagaceira, baronesa, beauty night, braba, briba, brasileira, azulina, óleo, tim, penicilina. Quantas mil cabeças te sonham água? Aquela que abre a bondade e abre o coração. Água benta, água branca, água raiz. Aquela que matou o guarda, filha do senhor de engenho. Água pé, água pra tudo, teimosia, tira teima. Azuzinha, a deriva, a marvada pindaíba. Oranga de pela guela, meu consolo todo nela. Quantas mil cabeças de sonho água.
That's Não é Água, which means It's Not Water, by Brazil's Flame Collective, recorded live in WBGO Studios. They spoke to our producer, Tim Wilkins. Coming up next, excavating rare Ethiopian jazz grooves with WBGO's Monica Miller. This is The Checkout. I'm Josh Jackson.
Passando no meio e a verdade batendo de quina na cavidade do meu anseio. Gira menina de vontade pisada no freio na cidade que é meio ruína e meio saudade do que não veio. Pela vidraça toda pressa da gente que passa e o progresso cuspindo fumaça nas esquinas da minha cabeça. E essa moça eu nem mesmo conheço, mas sua história mal logo termina.
Ethiopia. The East African country once had a golden age of jazz up until the 1970s, but it vanished under a Marxist dictatorship that lasted almost three decades. In the years that followed, many artists found refuge in London, Boston, even Washington, D.C. WBGO's Monica Miller recently visited Ethiopia and discovered the musical genre is experiencing a slow revitalization in its home.
Ethiopia's had its fair share of tragedy, but a place many people only associate with famine and war has developed a distinct rhythm these days. Mulatu Astaki is taking charge of the vibraphone, center stage at a club that he opened last year, the African Jazz Village, on the grounds of the old imperial palace of Emperor Haile Selassie. Astaki is known for his unique mix of traditional Ethiopian music and Latin and American jazz rhythms. Thank you. Astake style of Ethio jazz gained international acclaim when his music was used as the soundtrack of Jim Jarmusch's film Broken Flowers, released in 2005 with actor Bill Murray. Different versions of a pentatonic musical scale, according to Astake.
It's a fusion, I would say, 5 against 12. 5 notes against 12 European notes. But it's not that easy I'm talking about, because to combine the 5 notes with the 12, you really have to be careful that you don't lose the color, the beauty, the character, the Ethiopian characters while you're playing it.
Russ Gershon says that he fell in love with this kind of music about 2 decades ago. The Boston-based saxophonist says that his band, the Ether Orchestra, has embraced it.
And it took me a little while to figure out why it was so appealing to me. And one of the reasons was that there's so much American music in the modern Ethiopian music. It's kind of jazz and soul music and American popular music is really, it's really in the DNA of modern Ethiopian music.
He says there's a lot packed into the 5-note scale.
It's not just a scale, but it's like a whole body of songs expresses that scale, in that scale. Tizata is a scale, but it's also a concept of nostalgia or longing, and it's also the name of 1,000 songs.
This is Mahmoud Ahmed performing Tezita from Ethiopiques, a 28-volume compilation of Ethiopian music from the 1960s and 70s. I spoke to producer Francis Falsetto at his home in France via Skype.
You started exactly 30 years ago by listening to a LP, a vinyl LP, a long player of Mahmoud Ahmed. In friends' parties.
Putting Ethiopiques together hasn't been easy. He's traveled to several different countries to track down the music. Here's one of his finds from Volume 8 on Ethiopiques by Lemmy Demisu. You've been listening to songs from Ethiopiques. Here's another from the compilation from Ayelu Mesfin and the Black Lion Band.
I'm a chemical, 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 I' بل شكمي ملك العودة وكسب رقسمي حصابي 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 حصابي
This is Monica Miller for The Checkout, where we've been listening to Ethiopiques, a compilation of Ethiopian music from the 1960s and 70s. Its producer, Francis Falsetto, says that it was a magical time for the country's music until 1974, when the music was silenced and a military regime called the Derg came to power. Falsetto says there were only about three hotels that had jazz performances, and the regime's midnight curfew put a real damper on the nightlife.
During the Saturday night, then you could see music, but until midnight, and preferably until 11, because the curfew coming at midnight, normally, you have to drive in a hurry to be back home. Or, what I have done a couple of times, you stay in the hotel to spend the night with the musician, and you rent a room to stay and waiting for the end of the curfew in the morning, you know.
Today, the country is slowly healing, but the legacy of suspicion lives on and a tight grip on the media remains. Before heading to Ethiopia to report on this story, a friend and journalist based in East Africa warned me to be careful. He and his wife wound up in jail while on assignment. With a small microphone and my iPhone tucked in my pocket, I headed to Jazz Zumba one night, which has live performances 7 days a week at the Taitu Hotel. Patrons made up of tourists, aid workers, Chinese engineers, and locals pay about a $4 cover charge after going through tight security. They pass by a woman sitting an inch off the floor burning incense and preparing Ethiopian coffee with popcorn before heading into a dimly lit ballroom. Fridays at Jazz Zumba are the Addis Acoustics Project, a kind of oldies night. Bata Gebrio takes the stage with a big smile and some unique dance moves. Once the lead singer of the Raz Band in the 1960s, he came out of retirement as an accountant from a movie theater. Some fans, with liquid encouragement from local Meta Beers, sing along. The club opened its doors about 2 years ago. Its co-owner, Giram Mesmore, says that they also opened a jazz school in 2009. They have about 45 students in the three-year program taught by himself and other Ethiopian musicians who studied at the Berklee College of Music who returned to their home country. He says Ethiopia is starting to experience a jazz renaissance.
This could lead to another great golden age. You have musicians who technically have a good caliber and there are more schools. So it's a totally different situation.
And across town, Mulatu Astake is adding his own name and musical style to the growing jazz scene. Even though he spends a lot of time out of the country performing, he's encouraging new artists to take the music to a new level.
Is, I should say, freedom in music. Always musicians, they want to release themselves. They want something to do. If you just open your mind. I had a great teacher who tells me, be yourself all the time. I fought myself. I fought for it. So I tell him, be yourself.
And that's exactly what Jorga Mesfin hopes to accomplish. He recently returned to Ethiopia after living in the U.S. for almost 20 years to play with Astake.
So all the musicians used to live, they were expats. They lived in New York or D.C. or somewhere in London. But now people have come back. So most of us have moved back. So that has added a little vibrancy to the city. Music scene.
For the saxophonist and pianist, he says there's no place like home.
We never stopped experimenting with how to balance the two musical influences, Ethiopian music and jazz. So the next generation has done some work. It's not as popular or visible, but we're all excited to see what comes up next. But we've been waiting for this for a long time.
For The Checkout, I'm Monica Miller.
That's Mulatu Astatke's Yegele Tezita, in English, My Own Memory, on Volume 4 from the CD series Ethiopiques. Coming up, we remember a New York revolutionary, saxophonist Fred Ho. This is The Checkout. I'm Josh Jackson. On April 12, 2014, Fred Ho succumbed to cancer. He was 56. When he was with us, the Chinese-American bandleader, activist, and entrepreneur was known to do things his own way. He dismissed the word jazz, called his art Afro-Asian liberation music. Inspired by Cal Massey, the composer, and other musicians allied with the radical black arts movement, he combined their vision with his own progressive American and Pan-Asian consciousness. In 2012, Fred visited WBGO to talk about Cal Massey's music and also his own.
Since really the early 1970s, when I first was introduced to Cal's music by Archie Shepp, I was then a high school student, junior high school student, in fact, and Archie had come to the Amherst, Massachusetts area to join the faculty of the University of Massachusetts Amherst. And I was just struck by Cal's work. I never met Cal Massey, but Archie had a lot of Cal's music, and we played it continuously during my formative years in junior high school and senior high school. What resonated me when I was a young teenager was both how sophisticated and how soulful the music was simultaneously. These weren't diametrically opposed things or qualities. You could write music that was lyrical, that was soaring. At the same time, you know, it could be very transgressive, it could be very challenging artistically. So that combination really became a template for my work, that we could create a popular avant-garde. In 1987, I swore to myself that I would never play another club in America, and I haven't. I started creating large-scale operas, all inspired by Cal Massey and Sun Ra and these folks. But I think the critical thing was that I stopped conceiving myself or being my identity being chained to this idea of quote-unquote jazz, that I really saw it as contemporary performance work. And you know, by swearing to myself I wasn't going to work in the quote-unquote jazz industry again, it liberated me. It made me find a whole new set of opportunities and places and empowered me to raise my own money and to think much more strategically, think much more about marketing and all these other things. It really created a new identity for me, you know, this identity that if I wanted to, you know, give it a tagline would be New American Multicultural Afro-Asian Music and Performance. I've been successful beyond actually my wildest imagination financially because I really stuck to my guns. you have to cure yourself of gigitis. And that's the major disease so-called jazz artists are infected with, going from gig to gig and not having a strategic vision, you know, a new narrative arc, if you will, as to their work as artists, but also to their place, you know, in the marketplace. My playing the baritone saxophone is a metaphor for the struggles of my life. I didn't want to play it. I wanted to play alto or tenor, which was more of the featured instrument. They got all the solos. But I couldn't afford my own saxophone, so the only free horn in the public school band program was this big baritone that nobody wanted to lug around and practice. So it became a metaphor for my life that I was given the discard, you know, put it in this marginalized area. Like I remember one of my first experiences, my first memories as a young infant was having my sandbox segregated. On one hand, it was terrible, you know, not having other kids play with me. But on the other hand, I had my own sandbox to myself that I could make it into whatever I wanted.
That's Fred Ho's Tenko Bushi from the Yellow Power, Yellow Soul Suite, recorded with the Saxophone Liberation Front from the album Snake Eaters from Mutable Music. We remember the baritone saxophone revolutionary, Fred Ho.
So the baritone saxophone was a discard, a hand-me-down instrument no one else wanted to play, but I was able to make it my identity, my voice, even though I was frustrated for a long, long time with it. I don't even see it as a baritone saxophone anymore. You know, I see it as this kind of hybrid instrument because I've developed so many of my own techniques on it that go beyond the diatonic scale that, you know, it's hard to see it as a saxophone anymore. So I integrated martial arts into my shows and built these martial arts operas, if you will. You know, I was had the mentality of resisting many of the stereotypes foisted upon Asian Americans. And one such was that, you know, myself being a bigger Asian American male, this thing that, you know, people would call me Bruce, you know, because they only knew Bruce Lee, so forth. And I resisted dealing with the martial arts. And then a friend of mine convinced me, rather than reject it, I should reclaim it and revolutionize it.
Once upon a time, in a place beyond history and fantasy, in a time when human conflict was not waged by weapons of mass destruction, but by the martial arts.
My intention was to contend with the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, with Xena, you know, with the Ninja Turtles, you know, to win the consciousness of young people, that, you know, that I could contend with the Stallone and the Schwarzeneggers out there for the hearts and minds of young people, that I could create fantasy action adventure stories. But I never compromised the music, the artistry in them, you know, that the music was this Afro-Asian revolutionary music. Thank you. I was struck by a speech that was given by Paul Robeson, and he talks about the similarity between black music, particularly the blues, and Chinese music, beyond the superficialities that they're both quote-unquote pentatonic scales. But he looks at the ethos, the spirit of the music, and that music comes from laboring people. And it's about their struggles as well as their aspirations. It's really about their heart and their soul. And he says, there is so much similarity between the two, between African-American itinerant workers and Chinese peasants, that the music shows this relationship to earth, to nature, to labor, to struggle, and is existential. It also expresses the heart of individuals in the context of a collective suffering. History of my life as an Asian American artist to creating so-called Asian American jazz, this cross-cultural hybrid between Asian forms and African American forms. Because I came up during the late 60s, early 70s, my consciousness as an Asian American is pan-Asian. So, you know, I've worked with Japanese, Chinese, Korean, Filipino forms from, I'd say, Iraq all the way to Hokkaido Islands in northern Japan. It's understanding that ethos that's the most critical thing. If you see these parallels in people's experiences, it actually broadens your worldview and shows you that there is no monolith on oppression, that it's global. And people approach it from many different angles, but on that basis, we can find commonality. We can affirm our humanity, not just acknowledge the suffering and the struggle, but affirm the humanness that we have to transcend that suffering, that collective oppression.
Okay, y'all.
That is a small trio piece between Korean singer. She sings in the Korean language. She also plays kayagam, which is a Korean zither, with my drummer Royal Hartigan playing a modified drum set with Korean chango, which is an hourglass-shaped drum, and myself on baritone saxophone. I was interrupted from 2006 to about 2009 because of my cancer diagnosis. And then became clear to me after tumor number four. I've had new fifth and maybe sixth tumor have been found. But after tumor number four, that my time on this planet would expire soon. And I was driven to cement my musical legacy. So a lot of my new work, I made a big push. I financed it all myself to record and release in collaboration between my production company, Big Red Media, and Mutable Music, and another label called Innova.
Thank you.
That's In a Pan-African Mood, recorded by Fred Ho with the Green Monster Band. The Sweet Science Suite from 2011. Fred Ho succumbed to cancer April 12th, 2014. Did you know the Checkout is a podcast? Subscribe to all of this wonderful music and information on iTunes. All of our shows are archived feature by feature on our website, so you can go back and check us out at checkoutjazz.org and share that with your friends. And stay in the know. Follow us on Twitter at checkoutjazz. Our producer is Simon Rentner. He's on Twitter at Simon Rentner. Special thanks to producers Monica Miller and Tim Wilkins and our production intern and assistant Joyce Kwan. The Checkout is a production of WBGO Newark. I'm Josh Jackson. Thanks for listening.